So, Christy,
yes,
completely off the cuff, tell me all about the format.
I will tell you about the format. I have been a fan of the format since 2003, when one of my friends in college was like, hey, you need to listen to this song, which was like the early demo of Dog Problems, the title track of their second album. Anyway, I went to their reunion concert in Phoenix on Saturday. It was the greatest night of my life.
And it's been the fullness of her personality ever since.
It has taken over every waking moment of my life ever since, which is fine with me.
She has a format shirt on. And it looked like the original question before we pressed record was, I said, are they doing the Taylor Swift thing with the bracelet?
With the bracelet. So this is what I was going to explain is that we joined, there's a Facebook fan club format group thing that
Christy's in it, guys.
I'm in it.
In case you question that at all.
I also you've seen this, but I've had a format poster in my house for like the past 7 years. Like it's a,
no one doubts it. I just didn't know that we were gonna, this, it would keep going for,
that it would keep going for so long.
For so long. We're
very excited, Leah.
I'm with
very
you.
Look, exciting time.
I'm a part of the fandom too, not this format fandom, but fandom.
They broke up in 2009 and I still remember that day. I was driving to seminary. I was on my way to class and
she hit a tree after it.
And I was devastated. I was so, like, it was the worst day. It was like when, I imagine, like when the Beatles broke up and people were, I was very upset. But
I want to be sure to emphasize you just compared the format to the Beatles breaking up.
I feel comfortable with that analogy.
I don't at all.
I feel entirely.
I don't even like the Beatles. I don't feel comfortable with it.
Anyway. So we joined my friend Jen and I, who were two of the three of us who went to this, like the group of us that went to the concert this weekend. Jen and I had bought tickets to New York as well, just in case we didn't get the Phoenix ones, because we were very concerned. And so we needed to sell the New York tickets. And so we joined this Facebook group in order to do that. But then the Facebook group has also been very, as you can imagine, very active with like information and all sorts of things. And one of the things that was in there was the merch that they were going to be selling. And somebody else posted that we should make friendship bracelets a la Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
This is not entirely shocking that there is a lot of crossover between Swifties and format fans. And so they were like, we should also do this. So I...
And Beer Camp, apparently, because we're doing it for Beer Camp.
And Beer Camp, yeah. So I've been on a friendship bracelet making adventure now. I made 16 friendship bracelets for the format concert. So we each got 5. I also made my mom one for a thank you for going to the merch pop-up and getting us all of our stuff, because...
I love how confused she was. That's probably how I would be if you sent me to that thing, because I'd be like... For reference, listeners, I did also listen to the format, but it was probably in 2003, and that's where they stayed for me. And I had the one album.
Interventions and Lullabies.
There you go. Sure. And so Christy would play me songs, and I was like, I know that one. I don't know that one. So I was very wrapped up in this one album. But I thought that that's kind of where they stayed, too. I thought that they stayed in 2003, yeah. And no, they
not
didn't.
For us. They did not. Well, and if you remember,
they live with you.
Early listeners may remember that when you and I were doing our top 5 perfect albums, that Dog Problems, the album Dog Problems, was one of my top 5 perfect albums. So
that's right.
Anyway, not- yeah. So we sent my parents to the merch pop-up in Phoenix. They were very sweet. Also, I need you to know, initially my mom was like, there's a line, we have to wait in line. And she was kind of grumpy about it. And then when they got out and she called me and she was like, okay, so we got your stuff. And I was like, okay, how was it? And she was like, for 2 days raving about how nice everyone was. She was like, Christy, they were so nice and they were so well organized. And people kept, like, helping us with things. And I guess somebody said, so you must be buying this for someone else. And she was like, you know, it was just so sweet how they, and they
understand, like, the pop-up merch. This is a genuine question. Because why didn't they just sell it at the concert?
They did. So there's a store slash the label that the format was with. Based in Phoenix. They have a store there, so they did
a pop-up. Okay, that makes more sense. I was just
they only did that in Phoenix. They didn't have the pop-up.
I was gonna say also Taylor Swift did that, but she's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, no, they only did it in Phoenix, and again, it was at the store. They had I'm a little bit sad about this, but they had somebody come in and do airbrush t-shirts on Friday, and my parents firstly went on Thursday. Also, I would not have been like, get me an airbrush t-shirt, because that's
Salem. The level of
style trust I don't have with my mom. But
I actually have quite a few airbrush t-shirts that are really funny.
They were really cool. I saw pictures of them and I was like, damn, that would have been awesome. But like, none of us were in Phoenix for the Friday pop-up.
I have one with my name that has a unicorn that I still have. Now I'm going to take a picture of it.
I'm very excited.
And it's very 90s. It looks like Lisa Frank threw up on my the front.
I never got to have an airbrush t-shirt, and I always really wanted one.
You didn't live by enough redneck beaches.
There were very few opportunities for me to get one when I was a kid. But so my mom is now like kind of a fan, and they kept asking questions about the format, my parents. And then I told her that they're going to be on The Tonight Show the same day as Taylor Swift. And I told my mom, and she was like, okay, well, we'll have to check it out.
Bless her heart.
She's also very confused about the fact that my friends and I all flew to Phoenix for this show.
Also, because I'm with your mom. I'm with Kathy.
That's a, you know, it's a level of fandom.
It is.
But I have it. I'm anyway, but we have all agreed that we essentially have joined a cult, and we're happy about it. I mean, again, this is not new. I've been a big fan for 22 years. It's not like.
You're just a long-term cult member now.
It's just that their last album was so long ago, and we didn't know it was going to be the end, right? Like, the last time I went to a concert, it was just, like, one of the many concerts I went to in a very small venue.
Would you have wanted to know, though? I don't think I would want
to. No.
I don't like knowing when things end at
the... Yeah, but I feel like, you know, now, because they did the reunion and all of this stuff is happening, everybody is like, oh my God, like, we've missed this for 20 years and we're just so excited. So it was
you're about to get a whole boatload of Swifties.
Yeah.
Whether you want it or not. I don't know.
I don't know how I feel about it, but
I mean, they're very excitable and that's good.
They are.
And they buy stuff, but it's just going to make your life. It's like moving to Denver. They're going to make your life harder.
They are going to make my life harder. It's going to be harder to get things. I am excited though, because I think, I mean, look, this is 90% I feel confirmed, but that there is a new album coming. So we're real jazzed. I'm going to order that thing.
Did they say they were coming out with a new album?
So they played two.
What is that? You really?
I'm telling you, I don't even
care. Salem, please stop, buddy. Yeah, I wanted him to come in because it's spooky season.
Spooky for anyone else.
But he hears your voice and he wants to get into all of my closets.
Salem's like, ah, that
my cat has
lady
extreme like human anxiety. He was a COVID cat, so he just like really. So when he hears other voices, he just immediately retreats in. But he knows how to open doors, unfortunately, and drawers. So he just is trying to crawl inside of a hole. You said you've not done this for and it's okay.
It's not like I've ever been a fan like this for anybody else. So it's a very new experience.
The Beatles.
I love the Beatles, but I didn't fly across the country to see them. I mean,
well, because they're dead. They didn't exist.
I do love the Beatles. I mean, I love other bands. There are other bands that I've been a big fan of. It's just like, you know, I get to at least for the moment experience what it's like for Swifties, and I am enjoying it. And also, again,
it's fun.
The most wonderful, like, the concert itself was phenomenal. The format was perfect. Nate did a great job. Sam is still Sam. It's so wonderful. But also,
and Sam,
he's just so like chill. Like, nothing, he's very nonplussed, you know, like, this is just, this Sam. But everybody there was just so happy that it was like, Jen described it as a big hug. It was like, just the most lovely place. There were these two guys in front of us that just, they had their arms around each other. I sent you that picture. They had their arms around each other and they were like swaying, and then they would cheers us, and it was just the happiest.
It probably is at once too. probably a one-time thing in the sense of like, and I'm not, this is not me being cynical. I do lean that way, but I've seen this happen with Frightened Rabbit as well, who's a, I'm a big fan of. But like once they got on like the American circuit, the shows weren't the, like, it wasn't the same anymore.
Well, and I told you.
And probably after that, they go on with Taylor Swift, that probably will happen. Yeah. But it's nice that you got to experience it at the time.
I assume, yeah. I was telling you earlier when we were talking, when Fun got really big, it was not the same experience going to their concerts as it was when they were much smaller. But also, like,
you were Red Rocks. I saw the picture, just in case you wonder if I stalk you. Because yesterday you were like, I don't know where I was. And I was like, she was at Red Rocks because I saw the pit.
There were these guys that got into a fight in front of us. It was like a fist fight.
At a fun concert?
Yeah, at a fun concert. But it was like a lot of frat boys. There was a very like frat boy feel to the Fun audience, which did not exist with the format. And so, yeah. And also like the nostalgia and just the excitement and everything that this concert was, like, you're not going to have that again if they're just going on tour. I'm still going to go. Like,
You do. Like,
And I'm still going to love it. But like the essence of this show was so specific to what it was, you know, that I don't expect it to be recreated at other shows, but it was fantastic. But
yeah, I mean, I, like I said, it just changes it, I guess. Like I'm thinking specifically about Frightened Rabbit. Like I also went to a Neutral Milk Hotel, who's my favorite band. They only had two albums though. And the guy was very mentally unwell. And we know we will never get another album. But then in some ways, I think like in the Airplane Over the Sea, at least, like it's on most lists of like the best albums of all time, like Paste and all of that. And I'm like, maybe would they be what they are if they had had many albums? You know, like there are some artists that like benefit from that. Like Taylor Swift, I think, a good example. She's going to write music until she can't. And that helps her like legendary status. But I'm wondering if Neutral Milk Hotel's legendary status is one
scarcity.
Album.
Scarcity helps. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like Format only has two other albums. Well, they have the two full albums. There's another album called B-Sides and Rarities, which isn't like necessarily a full album. It has some like alternate versions of some of the songs that are on.
I love that you put out two albums and you're like, here's the rarities. And it's here's the redos of the
B-Sides and Rarities version. Though, like, the B-Sides and Rarities album is so much fun because there's a song on there called Does Your Cat Have a Mustache?
Ooh.
There's a song called I Am an Ape Man, which one of my bracelets says I Am an Ape Man. Because I wanted to make sure everyone knew that I'm a deep cut fan, not just a hits fan.
I mean, that's fair. The hipster says you have to.
B-sides. Oh, not my just anyway. But it was fantastic.
This is the most you'll ever see of my cat. Ever.
I know. Look at Salem. Oh, we're gonna have to post all of this footage right here.
The baby. He's a Salem. Baby. He's a big, big, he's a big boy baby. Can I grab you?
He says, only if you let me crawl inside your soul. He is so big.
He is. He's not as big as Kylo. He's not the biggest. Look at the lot. Look at the.
Okay. I have many pictures of this. Anyway, so that was my weekend. I was in Phoenix. I had a spiritual experience.
She did. She truly did. Welcome to Theology on the Rocks, where Christy has found a new God.
I have converted.
To the format.
The
welcome to spooky season where Salem says hello.
Salem says hello. Penny
where
says,
you going, boy?
Get the out of my house.
Ow. This episode, Salem has claws. Oh, yeah. No, I'm super excited. I was with a friend last night, and when I came home, Stuart had put up all of the Halloween decorations outside, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I wait till October 1st, but we all know this is Leah's season. Some people are Christmas people. Good. You'd think based on the amount of theology we write, but no,
I like Christmas decorations, but I don't really like care about the holiday itself. I want to do other things. I want like the decorations and the twinkly lights, and I want to go to a Christmas market, and I want to wear a lot of beanies. None of this happens in my life anymore, but those are the things I want.
I was like, I want you to wear a beanie in just Tampa, just downtown Tampa.
Just hanging out, wearing and a beanie. Like a park, every time one of my students shows up with a beanie on, I'm like, what is happening to you? Like, that is all sweat. All of that underneath that beanie is just pure sweat.
Also, I am 72 excited for... today. It was kind of cool.
That's nice for you.
Well, I am in North Carolina, Christy. It's not the same as Florida over there.
It's not the same. I'm excited. You're going to see me in my element in Minnesota, because I am going to have a beanie on.
You're going to see me in hell.
Just all of the time. I'm going to be like, you're never going to see the top of my head.
I'm going to be like, what is this stuff on the ground? I hate it. Get me out of here. Please. I was like that in Colorado. That I was like that
on the ground. It's October. It's not.
It's Minnesota, Christy. It's Minnesota. I know, but... It's really up there in my southern child brain. Mm-hmm. Salem, you're good.
Do you think that it just snows year round
everywhere? Just everywhere. You go to like Missouri and above, and it's just pure ice caps up there.
Missouri and above.
Yep. Ice caps across the whole upper Midwest.
Oh my gosh.
And I hate it. I don't hate you people, you good people who live there, but I am not.
She hates your weather.
I do. And I'd admit that. I don't, it's not a friend of mine. Now, if you want someone to drive you through a tornado or a hurricane, I'm your gal. I got you. Torrential
you
rain.
You almost just fell off the couch.
Totally fine, but put some ice on the ground. And one, I'm going to fall, because I'll probably have flip-flops on. And the other is, I don't know how to, like, drive or do anything in it.
I wouldn't make you.
You wouldn't get the opportunity.
I would be like, Leah's not going to drive. We're not going
to. I would just be anything. Like, I need to Uber and find someone who has a high rating in such conditions. Mm-hmm. Also, today is the start of our Salem. Jeez. What you doing, baby? I love you. Stop it. Today is the start of our new season. We are in season 3 of Theology on the Rocks.
Season 3. I can't believe we made it to season 3.
Salem
can't.
Either, honestly.
Salem can't.
He's just like, wow. Like, get me into a closet. People are all trying to come out of the closet. Salem is actively trying to get into
it. Actively trying to go back into it.
Back into the closet. He didn't want to be left alone. He's a testament, by the way, to people who are like, I need to get another animal / baby human because the other one's going to be lonely. He's going to look at those people and say, you're wrong.
Yeah.
He's like, just fine.
I remember my life as the only child and it was miraculous. And then
it was beautiful.
These two ding dongs were like, let's adopt everything that exists.
It's true. It's true. Odin's still here. So,
I was going to say, how many cats do you have at the moment, Leah?
I can't talk about it. I always use the line that I couldn't have more than Taylor Swift, and right now I do. So I'm just going to, like, leave it there. So today we are drinking, I said champagne, and Christy went Prosecco. And I was like, Prosecco. Because we are celebrating season 3.
Cheers.
Cheers. Ding. And also... I lost a bet, so I have to wear this Ravens shirt because Stuart had to pick a team in Scotland to support because he wanted to watch NFL. And for reasons, he told for us, reasons. And I can't actually remember. I think it just was a team he saw, and he was like, yeah. He started supporting the Ravens. Well, Baltimore all Raven. Of you know, if you watch my Geekology video, is I'm a diehard Georgia fan and a passive Falcons fan. And so I lost a bet because Georgia lost to Alabama. I'm just going to get Georgia loses to Alabama tattooed on my forehead.
I feel slightly bad about this because I said to you at some stage this season, like, I don't think you should be afraid of Alabama anymore.
We shouldn't have.
And you were like, just wait. And then I saw that you guys had lost, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, and we lost by your favorite, a freaking field goal. That's what we lost. Ugh. And they dropped a pass in the end zone. He dropped it. He had it in his hand and dropped it. Like, And it's funny, though, because everyone is, there's this meme that's going around that's like, Georgia needs an exorcism from Alabama. And I will say this, like, a lot of the videos and stuff going around, a lot of commentators who are not even Georgia fans think Kirby Smart is probably the best coach in college football. Yeah. I agree. I think he is. I think he's a great coach. I know you are. But I'm not alone. So. But that being said, they all say when we play them, it's like he's not even the same human anymore. He just like, and I agree. There's just something within him that like, and we all thought it was Nick Saban, which makes sense because Nick Saban is a supernatural figure, actual warlock. But now we realize that it's just the team, you know, and there's plenty of other like Texas's coach, Sark, like, there's plenty of other coaches that were under Saban. So Kirby was under Saban. He learned everything from Saban. So we thought, well, it makes sense. He's not going to beat him. It's like if we did a theology off with one of our students, if we don't win that, what did we even do? You know?
Right. That would,
but anyway, now it's just a thing, but you understand Ohio State, Michigan's the same. Like, you aren't supposed to lose to them at all this year.
And, like if we lose to them this year, Oof. But also, we might.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very worried about that game because we lost to them last year and they sucked last year.
They did.
And we won the national championship last year. So, like, we had no business losing to Michigan.
We lost to Alabama and went on to win the national championship. Because now that we have the extended playoff, it used to be we would lose to Alabama and then, unless we made it to the SEC championship, and then we'd lose to him again, inevitably. So we'd always be out. Like, once we played Alabama, it was done. And now it's, like, because of the playoffs, it's possible. Like, I watched that game, and it sucked, and I hated it. But I was like, you know, it's okay, which makes me feel a little bit better.
That's good.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
We'll see.
Anyway, so you lost a bet, and you're wearing the Baltimore Ravens shirt, and it looks
Stewart's amazing on you. Thank you. We discovered it's actually cream and not just dirty, which is great to know. So yeah, he picked them and he's like a big, what's it, that guy fan?
Is it Lamar Jackson?
That guy.
Jackson. Yeah, that's appropriate.
And now I think they're doing okay, right? They're winning?
They are. Well, they are, but they lost to Kansas City and I was pretty pissed about that.
Oh. Well, we lost to the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. They blew us out.
It's a beautiful day.
It was a day of like, take the two teams who have been crushed the most and just have them play. I feel like we should just get a bye from each other. Like, it's already sad enough. We were looking at tickets, Christy and
I. At least it didn't end in a tie.
It didn't. But I will tell you, we were looking at tickets on the day. It was 2 hours away from the game starting.
Yeah.
That was down the road. And it was $40 for a ticket.
It was $40. I repeatedly tell you that when the Broncos play Carolina in Carolina, it will be cheaper for me to buy all three of us tickets to that game and fly up there than it would be for me to go to a Broncos game in Denver. So
that's fair.
For my just one singular ticket in Denver.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I know. That's fine. I think I wait for the day. I didn't go see this game though. So probably pretty happy I didn't. People were at the game and kept sending me videos and I was like, "Y'all, I'm watching on the TV. I can see what's happening." But I think they were just cuz there's bragging and then there's shock. And everyone was like, "God." And I was like, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so today we are talking about the summer that we had here in the USA and all of the things that happened and all the stuff that's going on in the world. Stuart, I hung out with a friend last night and made some silly choices relating to alcohol, and he asked me if I wanted a Tylenol, and I said, he said, "Do you want some autism with your Tylenol?" And I said, "You know, it's actually a good intro into what we're talking about." It is a good intro.
And also, like, sure. Because maybe I would, I don't know, do math better or something.
I don't play some music.
I don't know.
Make some dick rockets and
I'd have different skills than I could be a
billionaire.
I mean, Let's say it was an eventful summer slash fall.
I woke up every day feeling like
it's every day.
It is happening every day.
It is every day.
Yeah.
It is not. In fact, it is not. I think I would say it's getting considerably more.
Yeah.
World burning ish.
Yes.
The government is currently shut down.
It is currently shut down.
We're just going to go ahead and say is because the Republicans are being toddlers and won't work with anyone.
And the Democrats are not, they aren't going to go along with their stuff.
I think, as much as I don't like a government shutdown, I don't feel great about it, like what's happening, but I also understand what the Democrats are saying. Like, we're not going to just keep falling in line with you all. Like, mm-hmm. we're gonna take a stand, and I feel like they should do that far more frequently.
Yes.
And so, like, good that they're doing it. Unfortunate that it causes the government to shut down and people lose wages and things like that.
100%.
Absolutely not.
But I think there had to be a pause somewhere, because it was just getting to the point where every single day it felt like the current administration was just like doing more things
and more and more
and going against the Constitution, going against what they promised. Like, mm-hmm. There was a thing that Tim Whitaker put out that I saw from New Evangelicals. It was like Trump tweeting about not knowing about that Project 2025, and then him tweeting today he's going to go meet with the creator,
architect for it,
of it. And it's like, so you did know?
You do know.
Yeah, I mean, or you do know now.
We all knew he was lying. He lies about everything. It's actually illogical to assume that he's ever telling the truth, right? Just standard. He's been doing this since 2015, if not much earlier. I just didn't care prior to 2015. But
yeah.
We're aware of that. But I do think one of the things, as you and I were kind of talking about, what we wanted to chat about is that I kept thinking about the phrase speaking truth to power.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is a phrase that I think gets thrown out quite a lot without really sitting with what it means. So I looked it up because I wanted to make sure that I had
I
did my research.
You got a footnote.
We're good academics. And it comes from the Quakers. The Quakers, particularly in their desire for nonviolence and in the USA, right? Like, this is really particular to how Quakers have interacted with the United States. So this is they have a statement on Quaker.org.
For ref. Footnote alert.
And it's got a kind of explanation from what they're saying here. And they say it is the effort that is made to speak from a place of willingness to risk. So like, you're not just yelling and then protecting yourself, right? Or you're not only talking when it's safe to do so, or making concessions in what you're saying so that you don't lose during it. But they say, like, you have to be able to risk things. And they said they speak to power in three senses. So they're describing power in three ways: to hold high places in our national life and bear the terrible responsibility of making decisions for war and peace. So people who do that. To the American people, who are the final reservoir of power in this country and whose values and expectations set the limits for who exercise authority. And then to the idea of power itself and its impact on the 20th century life. And then they say that when you're talking about what truth means, they say our truth is an ancient one, that love endures and overcomes, that hatred destroys, and that what is obtained by love is retained, and what is obtained by hatred proves a burden. And I felt like when we're thinking about what the Democrats are doing right now in shutting down the country, shutting down the government, that is speaking truth to power, because it's willing to risk. You know, they're saying, like, we understand that this is a risk and that there is harm that will come from it, but that it is more harmful and worse to just acquiesce again. You know,
and it's hard because the risk is increasingly large and mm-hmm. it's getting larger. I saw before I was to hang out with said friend, I was looking at my phone and the headline popped up that a UNC Chapel Hill professor had been put on administrative leave for being a part of an anti-fascist, anti-racist group. And yep. I was like, and then I repeated this phrase to my friend who's in the medical field. And she goes, I thought that was a good thing. And I said, me too. And so I didn't deep dive into the article. I don't know anything else about it. It just popped up. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, you get people like Judith Butler at UC Berkeley getting put on a list for being anti-Semitic. And she's a very open Jew. Like, I don't, it's.
It's concerning when.
It's concerning.
I think back to when, the boogeyman of Antifa was first brought up and everybody's like, it's Antifa. And I was like, firstly, like Antifa, it's not an organization. There's no head. There's nothing. Like Trump keeps saying something about like anyone who donates to Antifa. And I'm like, but you can't, you literally can't, it doesn't exist. Right.
It's like the Red Scare all over again. It's like,
well, yeah, well, and there was an organization that worked against the Red Scare that has just reopened. They're like, we're back because apparently we have to do this again. But the thing that kept, and this was again, way back when this whole thing started with Antifa, is I kept thinking like, why did we shorten its name? Because now people don't know that it stands for anti-fascist, which we mm-hmm. should all be. Like, yeah. We should just, as a country...
And anti-racist? So and now anti-racist. It's like, bad to let's be go anti-racist? Ahead
and say, those are two things that we should just be, and we should right. be comfortable being. And and I think that language is so powerful, because by shortening it to Antifa, we allow for people to forget what it's supposed to be and think that it's an organization that they can be mad at, you know? Antifa right. hired people to do this or that, or Antifa this, you know,
like it's really just a code name for like basically any sort of liberal progressive thing. And it's like, you know who is also seen as being really liberal and progressive and counter governmental, the whole civil rights movement. And we weren't mad about that. Like,
well, I mean, like that's the thing is it's like, we're going back and saying, actually, like, I know that we've pretended for the last couple of decades that the whole country agreed that that should happen. But actually, we're right back to where we were and saying, like, no, it shouldn't. Because, you know, a whole swath of the United States was anti the civil rights movement when it was going on. And now they get to come back out and be like, yeah, we've always been against this. We've always hated this. I mean, it's like certain people have said on the far right that the civil rights movement should never have happened. Like, this is something people are openly saying here in 2025. And then I'm supposed to be worried about saying, no, I think the civil rights movement was a good thing, but
I just don't, I don't,
we've landed, you know, like
it's just such a, it does. It's exactly, it feels like we've gone back in time, but just like not that far back. It's like, we've gone back like to the 60s and it's just like, or even to the 50s. And it's like, so are we going to start calling artists like communists now again? Is that what we're doing? Like, because back then Antifa was called, you were a communist, you know?
Yeah.
But it was really if you were a hippie or you were a liberal or you were an artist or you were whatever. It's just whatever the government decided they didn't want you to be at a given time. And it's like, okay, cool. You know, are we going to start sending the National Guard to universities a la Kent State? Like, is that what we're doing?
Yep.
You know, I just... Probably. And that's the thing. Probably. So if they want to shut the government down, then I am sorry to everyone who's, especially people who are losing benefits and stuff, but I fear you would lose more.
You would
lose
more.
In the long term, if this doesn't happen.
And many people will lose more. And at some stage, like I said, I feel like what we need to come to grips with, especially those of us who have been either liberal or leftist for the past decade, realizing that we cannot continue to say, well, you know, I'm against these things or I'm standing for these things if we're not willing to speak up and to put things on the line, you know, like to be able to say, especially for white people, right? We are significantly less at risk every day. And so to be able to say, like, I am not going to just let my minority marginalized friends take all the hits for this. And I'm going to stand up and say, actually, yes, like I also am anti-fascist and anti-racist. Like I am those two things with the risk that it comes with, you know, like I have to be able to willingly say those things if I'm going to assume certain qualities of myself. But I think
I keep interviewing these people who have been through conversion therapy for my book. And the idea that we would go back to even, you know, with the LGBTQ plus community, the fact that we would go back to that world is terrifying. Like this stuff ruined these people's lives. And I mean, not completely. And I don't want to, they're survivors and I want to really highlight their bravery, but like it was damaging, you know, it is a hugely damaging practice. And the idea that, you know, and that's just one thing, because of course we've seen the attack on the queer community and trans community that is, I mean, I guess it's always been, they always say sex and gender are the things that always remain at the battleground. And I just think, you know, how are we allowing ourselves to go back to a time where acceptance was, you know, was seen as a sin or something?
Well, and I think too, it's not even that we're going back, because it's always been there, right? Like the people who've been mad about the civil rights have not gone away. They didn't just revert back to their 1950s selves. But instead, what's happened is that we've allowed for those who are racist and fascist and sexist and bigoted in whatever ways, we've allowed them to have such a microphone that they feel comfortable being all of those things loudly. And then they have also, I think, really kind of co-opted this notion that they're for the working class, which they're not, like, at all, right?
No, they're for the opposite, really.
They're entirely not for the working class. And so the one group of people that they're trying to pretend like they're pro, well, other than, like, straight white Christians, they're always going to be, like, pro that somehow. Mm. But, like, they're saying they're pro the working class while constantly throwing the working class under the bus and just, but they've co-opted this message to the point where like you get people saying things like, well, I voted for him because of the cost of eggs. And it's like, we have to be able to sacrifice the cost of eggs. Like
also, how's it going?
It's not going, you know, like your eggs are still really expensive, but also that I get it. I mean, you and I both don't make very much money. And so like, we're not sitting here.
I don't know what you mean. As she throws dollar bills
saying like you know, money doesn't matter or finances don't matter or whatever. I get it. My family has been poor. Like I understand that finances and the economy and stuff are going to weigh into people's decisions, but like at the end of the day, we have to be able to recognize the scope of our decisions, not as being an immediate thing. I'm not going to make decisions because they are in this moment comfortable or because I can see how I'll be rewarded immediately after, but instead thinking like, what does this mean for who I am as a person? What does this mean for the long run of people I care about? Like, how can
I mean, I do know some folks that are fiscally like Republican. That's, and it's very common in my neck of the woods, but it's like, and so that may be their defining thing. And which I would say to you, okay, that's fine. But I joked, how's it going? But it's not happening. Like if anything, things are getting more expensive. So hold, if that is the thing, and you know, idealistically, as you were saying just then, I don't want it to be the thing. But if it is the thing, then how's it going? Like write to your people, don't vote for them again. They are not, if they're not doing what they said they were going to do, then, you know, don't vote for them again. And I will be the first to tell you, I'm not the first, that's a joke. Being a Christian does not mean that you have to vote Republican. They have co-opted that. They have said that's Reagan era politics, and it's not true. They don't represent. I mean, just look at some of the stuff that's been swept under the rug right now. Like, I'm not saying the Democrats do either, and that's because political parties do not represent religious groups. Repeat it over and over to yourself.
Right. Like, and also, don't be in a political cult.
Don't be in a cult.
The format cult, if you want. We're a lovely bunch. But don't be
in or the Georgia cult. Bulldogs. We can be in our cult.
You should never be a fan of a politician. Politicians are civil servants who are supposed to work for us. They are not supposed to get rich and famous. They are not supposed to be cult leaders. And the mentality that we are supposed to have this kind of celebrity worship of these politicians is, again, it has warped so much of this. I don't want to be a fan of a politician. I want them to do what I'm telling them to do.
Yeah, and do what they said they were going to do.
And what they said they were going to do. And also, I want them to be concerned for the whole of the country, specifically the people who need that concern. People in poverty, people who are marginalized, people who need health care, people who need...
That sounds a little like Jesus, Christy.
It sounds a little like Jesus.
Are you Antifa?
I, apparently, so was Jesus.
Like, and so was Jesus. And I also think when this stuff came out about the Charlie Kirk stuff, that it became such a thing about speech and how we talk to each other and, oh, representative of free speech, and you can say for that what you will. We all acknowledge the tragedy that is anyone getting assassinated or murdered.
Absolutely.
Including the Minnesota representative and her husband and her dog.
And her dog. And the others who were shot by that man. And
that's
on the
right.
Lights. Yeah.
That's right.
Also, all of the school shootings that have happened. I mean, we could go through
that happened. I mean,
gun violence is terrible.
Guns are a real problem.
Gun violence is terrible. Nobody should be murdered by guns ever, but also especially on these kind of like, or the Mormon church that was just shot up.
And, I mean, we have a serious and that maybe that's what the politicians should be talking about, but they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
Because they're busy with culture wars and how, and this is a part of the culture war now, instead of just looking at our numbers and seeing numerically who, what country is getting shot up the most, like what in terms of the West, quote, Western world, and it's ours. Like it's ours. And it's like, it's so it's significantly like, larger than other
it's
countries.
So significantly. And like my family, I come from hunters. There were always guns in my house. Always. They were hunting rifles. But my dad and my brothers hunted my whole childhood. And I am not here to be like, no one should have a gun ever. But something has to be done. Regulations need to be made. We need to be able to stop people from just arbitrarily getting guns constantly. There are certain guns that nobody should have.
Nobody.
The military, maybe even. But like,
and the excuse that you hear that, oh, well, we'll take away their, they'll still have guns. That's not, that actually isn't, that doesn't hold up because the issue is that the bad guys are already getting the guns.
They're already getting the guns.
And you also, all have guns. And like, you can't give a gun to a 9-year-old.
If the logic of anything was, well, you can't stop criminals from doing crime, obviously. So why do we have any laws then? Like,
yeah.
But I talked about this with my dad once. I was like, you know, I remember as a kid that my dad never wore his seatbelt. Never wore a seatbelt.
Oh, no.
And I was really upset about it. And I, like, cried. And I was like, you're going to die. Please, I don't want you to die. Like, so he started wearing a seatbelt.
Okay.
And, but he had grown up, and this was his whole thought process. Is like, seatbelts didn't even exist when he first learned how to drive. My dad's super old. So, like, this was his thing.
Hey, Mr. Whaley. Like,
he was like, this wasn't a law for a long time, blah, blah. And I was like, but it is a law now, but also it's safety. Like, it's a law for a reason. And people adjusted. And now people wear their seatbelts, right? Like, people generally wear their seatbelts. And I'm like, I get that gun control, gun reform is going to take adjustments and that some people aren't going to be happy about it. But it is, again, it's worth it overall, and it's necessary. And if we're not willing to stop hoarding guns because we think it's okay that literal school children are dying in their classrooms, then we have very, very serious moral issues.
We do. Like, yeah. Forget about Christianity. This is just basic human existence. This is
basic human existence. Cavemen would have been like, hey, let's not have those boom boom sticks. Because the children are dying. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is basic morality. And again, it feels like what we've done is gotten so insular and so, like, right now concerned that we're afraid to speak up about things because, like, I might lose my job.
Yeah, well, all these people are getting fired because they said they made comments. And it's like, that's not about the Kirk stuff and other stuff. And it's like, no, you can't. Don't fire people for opinions. Like, that's for, like,
that's, I mean, freedom that's the of First speech. Amendment for sure. And also, nobody.
Even like, Ted Cruz agrees with us. He said this isn't going to work out.
Jimmy Kimmel never said anything except for stuff about an entirely different aspect of it. And again, like, there have been other people who got fired. Teachers here in Florida are really being put on blast about not speaking out about this. But, like, I'm very sorry he got killed. It was horrific. I saw that video. I
did not. Okay.
Do not like that that's in my head, but I saw it. I think it's horrific. But again, I think it's horrific that anyone dies by this. However, I also think guns need to be regulated. The civil rights movement was a good thing. When I see a black pilot, I'm like, awesome. You are more qualified.
You had to work
than anyone else.
A lot harder to get there. Probably because
you had to work your ass off. Right. I am now safer. I think, so as the Quakers here said, hatred is a burden. And it is going to ruin us. And that hatred that is being sown, and it's being sown through fear and through individualization. Everything has to be about me. And if anyone seems like they're coming to take my things, I have to hate them. That is an incorrect view of the world. And also, like, it's not real. No one is coming to take my things. Immigrants.
I'm going to take all, what if I came in and took all your format stuff, including your post, including your poster on the wall.
My poster, you rip that poster off the wall. You take both of my shirts, because FYI, I didn't tell you this earlier, but my mom bought me two of these shirts.
Are they the same shirt?
They are the same shirt.
Okay.
I would love to have two different shirts, but I have two of this very shirt. God bless you, Kathy.
Kathy!
So,
all the Kathys of the world.
But, like, we have to be able to say that even if you came and took all my format stuff, I still wouldn't shoot you with a gun because, like, that's wrong, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, and I think they want us so concerned with fighting each other that they're not being held accountable. And each day they just deconstruct and take away, and they're making us they're making us into feral cats, basically.
They are. Yeah, they're making us into feral cats. They're growing richer, they're gaining more power, and they're causing us to fight each other, which is insane. Like, we should not be fighting each other. We should be fighting them.
We should.
And
globally, is there any stuff that stuck out globally outside of our fair country?
Oh, I mean, there was just the two people who got stabbed in the synagogue in Manchester. Did you hear about that?
I didn't. Was that recent?
Yep. Was it yesterday?
Great.
Yes. Not so great. On the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, there was an attack at a synagogue in Manchester, and I think two people died, which is horrifying. This is the thing I will say. There has been a significant rise of anti-Semitism across
there
the
ends,
world.
There is, yeah.
And that is also horrific. And
it is.
I want to emphasize that what is happening in Gaza is horrific, but we do not need to become anti-Semitic in our support of Gaza. Like,
yeah, but you can credit, but as my Jewish studies friends say, you can criticize governments and countries. And
I want to criticize my government until the day I die. I want
the
right to do it. And I want to understand that that's my job.
And you can criticize Christian nationalism and not criticize Christianity. Because Zionism is not the same as Judaism. Like,
correct.
Those things are not the same. And Israel is not all that Judaism is. And I think
and also
we have to be critical thinkers in all of this.
Yeah. Many of the Israelis are criticizing their own government.
Right.
Like, we, if we aren't able to at least be as brave as them. Like,
right.
You know, like they live there and they're criticizing it. And we should be able to do that as well. And also, again, understand that there's a massive difference between that and hating Jewish people.
100%.
Like, we are not going to start going around. Like, again, just don't hate people. I think that's the end
of it. But it's also like the Antifa thing is they want to
conflate the two things.
They want to conflate the two. So when they're, if I go back to Judith Butler, who's she's a sociologist, but does stuff with gender and sexuality stuff. She's a UC Berkeley, a Jew, but she criticizes the Israeli government. Well, all of a sudden she's getting put on this anti-Semitic list. And it's like, that's very similar to speaking out about, being anti-racist or anti-fascist. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're a part of this Antifa group that is imaginary, that is like some, again, Red Scare thing. And it's like they want to conflate the two because it means that they can put you in this corner and that they can discredit the words that you say because you're a part of some sort of negative imaginary organization. And it's something to be aware of, is that you're allowed to talk. That's why we live here. Like, you're allowed to speak up.
I am genuinely a big fan of our Constitution. Like, I'm a fan of the First Amendment. I'm a fan of the ways that this country attempted to, like, form itself to be for the people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, was the intentions there. And the idea is that the government is supposed to be serving the people, not the other way around. And it's also, I was teaching about Shinto today, and one of the interesting things about Shinto is that you can bring up the ways that Shinto was used and twisted in order to support imperialist Japan and the ways that they committed such atrocities during World War II. Mm-hmm. And like, at the same time, you also get to then show that the point here isn't that Shinto is evil or that, you know, all of those people in Japan were evil, but that religion was used to do evil things, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so again, what we have to do, and I told my students this today, is like, be critical and critically think about the ways that you understand your own religion, the ways that you understand religion's interactions with the government, because when religion and government become bed partners, bad things happen. And to be able to say, like, I love Jesus, and, you know, I really appreciate and love many of the freedoms that the Constitution has granted me. The freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, that the army can't live in my house is great. I don't want them in my
house. Good. That's a pretty good one.
It's a pretty good one, you know. But, like, I also have to be able to be aware and thoughtful when stuff is being told to me that is a perversion of those things. Like,
right. Like, the right to bear arms, like, is
the right to bear arms is I think the biggest one, because it's like, the right to bear arms is not an unfettered access to automatic weapons. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to understand that you have a right to go hunting and have controlled, regulated access to those kinds of weapons, without saying that everybody can just have whatever gun they want all times, because we clearly have a giant issue, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
being, and it's able funny to how say, quickly we'll dismantle some bits of the Constitution and how steadfast some people hold to other aspects of it.
Well, and especially that one. It's like,
yeah, that one.
Let's get rid of free speech because we don't like what some people are saying. But, like, God forbid you take any of my guns. I just...
And it's not saying that people on the left don't do that as well. We certainly do, I would argue. But it's also saying, look around and see what's happening. Like,
yeah. Be aware of the ways that you're being manipulated.
And people who are dying.
Yeah. People are dying. And at some point, like, I understand on a level the idea of being fiscally conservative. But, like, if the concept of, like, I have to vote for somebody, and even if they were going to actually lower your taxes, right? and like do those things. But it meant that all gay people were going to get murdered. Like you being like, but I want lower taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not okay with that. I'm going to go ahead and
WWJD.
That we should not vote for people to get murdered. You know, like.
Yeah. Or even oppressed in any.
Or,
I mean,
yeah.
People like, might hear that and be like, there's no murder happening. Well, not yet. There no, there's is. Not.
Yeah.
I mean, and there, yeah, right? There and there is. But right. Based on, you know, the, well, many slew of things, medical things and also prejudice. Of course, people were dying. But, I mean, if people counter back and say, well, that's the thing that's most important. It's like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's like,
mm-hmm.
You got to start with your base. And if you don't have, you know, food and running water, then, you know, that is what I'm going to vote for. And I do know a lot of people in Georgia, especially that would argue that, like, we can get to the social stuff when we get to the basic needs. And so I have heard that. And I think they don't think about the social stuff because it doesn't affect them directly. That's the individualistic part of it. And I do think that it's hard to break through that because, you know, you have to have that in order to survive. But my argument is that Republicans at this stage aren't, and maybe not even Democrats, I don't know, are not doing that for us right now.
No, like, they're not even doing that. Nothing.
No one's doing it.
The needle's not budging, you know, like.
Right.
We are just constantly paying more and more and getting paid the same, right? Like nothing about wages is going up, but everything else is going up. And then being told like, just be grateful for your access to guns, essentially. And I'm like, but I'm not.
And Jesus. And I'm Jesus not. In the classrooms.
You know, let's pretend like somehow no one was allowed to be Christian before. Everybody was Christian. It was fine. We were all doing just fine. Nobody was.
People weren't baking cakes for gay people. What a time to be alive.
Oh my gosh.
If only we'd known.
If only we had known. Oh my God. It's just a...
And also, we don't know how to talk to each other anymore. Like, I think that I know this. I'm probably more conservative in some ways than Christy. And still on the left, like, clearly based on this conversation. But I would, you know, I think there's some things that maybe I lean a bit more right than you do on certain issues. But it's like, we've completely forgotten how to talk to each other. And they're making that gap wider.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's on purpose.
Yeah.
They don't want people because there's power in numbers. So if we actually did start, you know, holding, you know, truth to power or whatever, then all of a sudden each other, we're not the enemies. The people aren't the enemies. Mm-hmm. Even if you did vote Republican, even if you did vote for Trump, even if you did vote fiscally, you know, whatever, if we were actually able to be like, you know what? None of us are getting anything out of this. Nobody. Who's winning right now other than very rich people?
Yeah.
Well, 'cause if you think you are, I would say I'm not. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because I don't think so.
I do think that one of the, like, the first thing we need to do is to be able to talk to each other. And you know what's not helping is social media.
Mm.
Because, and I saw a bunch of this.
Mamas, get off the Facebook.
I saw a bunch of this right after, Kirk died, was that the things that you and I see about him and the things that our Republican friends see about him are two entirely different people.
That's right.
And so we're not getting the same information. So when I say he said that Black women are not cognitively able to achieve high positions of power, you're like, where did he say that? He loves Jesus, right? Like,
or was taken out of context, or it was,
or
a part
it was taken,
of
whatever. But like, we're not getting the same thing. So the rage is being fed by social media, right? And then also, and I just saw this today, that some studies is come out that watching short videos is destroying our brains 5 times faster than alcohol.
Well, I'm both happy and upset about that.
I know. I was like, so bring on the booze.
I was gonna,
that's good news. But also
feeling the way I feel today, that is upsetting and happy at the same
very
time.
Bad news. But also, and I went to a talk recently where this man talked about how we feed our subconscious kind of like junk food, but then your subconscious thinks that's what you like. So if you're at the end of the day, you're like tired and whatever, and all you do is doom scroll, then when you're tired, your brain is going to say, oh, you should doom scroll. You like that, right? But if you train yourself to, like, when you're tired, go read a book or go sit outside or talk to your spouse or whatever, then when you're tired, your brain is going to say, do those things, right? And so, like, we can fix this. We just have to stop scrolling, you know? And then the more, and we say it jokingly, but, like, the more we actually go outside and touch grass, the more we realize, like, yeah, it's not a right versus left. It's a class war. And mm-hmm. the upper class is killing us quickly.
And they're using religion as fuel.
And they're using religion
as fuel. It's almost like it's bad theology.
Oh. But, like, it is. It is. It's using religion as fuel. And it's using hatred and fear as fuel. And it's using scarcity as fuel. It's saying, if you let that immigrant have that cookie, you won't have any cookies. And they have 10 million cookies. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, what? This, they are not, you're, the billionaires are the problem.
Eat the rich. Yeah, I think we've come full circle because you said touch grass. And at one stage, I was talking to Christy about the format and I told her she should maybe go out and touch some grass. We were deep diving into, like, social media conspiracy theories about bans. And I was like, it's maybe time.
But it's true. Like, you know, I think it's important to be able to say, because how many people aren't able to pull themselves out of that? You know, mm-hmm. like, and you know, I like Taylor Swift. There are people out there who are insane. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in clinical terms about her, right? Like, they can't get themselves out of the conspiracy. Or, like, people who've gone deep into, like, QAnon and all of that. Like, they are actually incapable of pulling themselves out of that. And we just make it worse.
And banning books is not going to help, because what that does is it gives you, it's like little pinpricks to your bubble, is mm-hmm. when you read books, and the ones they don't want you to read are not going to tell 3-year-olds about being gay or whatever they think is happening. It's reading books like To Kill a Mockingbird. It's our banned book group. It's the books that we have read that shaped who we were, and mm-hmm. also shown a light on the country that we live in. And this idea of taking stuff out of, like, museums that talk about slavery, like, that's an insane thing. Like, what do you mean? Is. Like, they're basically wanting you to stay in that doom scroll bubble so that you don't
want you.
They don't want anything that's, and if something comes and the little pen pricks your bubble and it causes injury to your bubble, they're going to label it Antifa, or they're going to label it whatever, communist, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Like, trans stuff, you know, they're going after trans people right now, like, so hard. And they're going to say, oh, it's making your kids gay, or it's, like, whatever the thing like that. And in the meanwhile, the books are just trying to help you get outside yourself in a way.
They're trying to help you understand the world. And, like, the more perspective you get and the more empathy you build, which is what books do, they help you build empathy. The mm-hmm. more that you are able to say, like, hey, I can sacrifice this $5 carton of egg in order to help my neighbor who is being captured by ICE and put in a fucking concentration camp, you know, like,
those, and to acknowledge those, that's what we're doing. We are a country that's doing that.
We are doing that.
We're tearing families apart. We're doing it. We
have masked people kidnapping people on the street.
We're sending troops pretending to Portland.
Right
to Portland.
You know what I've been watching recently, which Portlandia. Is so ironic. I've been watching Portlandia recently. Put a bird on it. I love Portlandia. I watch it, like, intermittently, because it's not really a show that you're, like, gonna sit down and binge watch. But, like,
the 90s are alive in Portland, Christy.
And
it's my favorite. I was watching it
before, and then he was like, Portland, and I was like,
what?
Portland?
It's a bunch of hippies.
I've been there. I'm here to tell you that Portland is not the place you need to be sending.
There's a bunch of stuff that went viral that was like, again, this is our bubble, about Portland people reacting to that. And they were just like, they were at, like, a farmer's market.
Yeah.
And they're like organic shoes. And they were like, is that the National Guard? What are they doing?
I saw this one that was like a Portland barista. and the ICE comes in to get, or the National Guard or whoever comes in to get a coffee, and the barista is like, oh, you only want a splash of milk, and then they pour like half the cup of milk and like give them a, you know, like this is what Portland is doing to you.
Yeah.
They're giving
so ridiculous.
Whole milk instead of oat milk or something.
So like, it's so, you're gonna get diarrhea hard. That's what Portland
that's
does
what
to
you're
you.
Gonna get. But like, it was, yeah. Oh my God, it was such ironic timing, because then I was like,
I mean, they did say, and again, this is something to keep in mind and to be aware of, is that Trump was going to send the National Guard. First of all, the president shouldn't be sending the National Guard to any city at all.
The military should not be
at his disposal.
Harassing American, like, that's just, the whole thing is insane. Yeah.
But he didn't send it to Memphis. He was going to do Memphis.
He was.
And then he was going to do any D.C. And then it was the Memphis, but has a Republican, well, Tennessee. And so he didn't. And now he's going to Portland. So again, keep in mind the cities. Again, this isn't, you'll be like, well, these cities are overrun with
also the
crime.
Footage that
it's
he was
Portland.
Using.
It's
yeah,
not
it's Portland.
Overrun
the
with
footage
crime.
He was using, let's just be clear, was from 2020. Portland is not currently experiencing any of that. The footage that he's like referencing were the protests from 2020 during Black Lives Matter protests.
That's which, by the way, you're allowed to protest as well.
You are allowed to protest. We have the right to protest, which I'm also a fan of. You know, I signed a like affidavit saying that I would uphold the Constitution, and I want to make it very clear that that is what we're doing right now. We are upholding all sorts of rights.
Which freaked me out when I saw it.
It was the weirdest moment of my life. And the lady...
she had to get it notarized.
Had to get it notarized, and she was like, what is this? And I said, and then I found out that it has to do with
Florida.
The Red Scare.
Oh.
Yep. So anyway, but freedom of speech, freedom of religion, keeping that military out of my house, freedom of protest, the right to assembly is what it is. Like, I am. This is supporting our Constitution. So if you are patriotic in any way, like James Baldwin says, if you love your country, your heart should break for it. That was the wrong way around, but.
Yeah. If your country's not breaking your heart, you don't love it enough or something like
that.
There
you go. Yes, it's that one. Yeah.
And it's hurting. Mine's hurting.
It's hurting. Mine,
and I'm
my
trying
heart
to forget that I live in a house with a man with a British passport. Truly and truly.
I have been offered some escape routes, but this is the thing. Like, I genuinely do love this country.
Me too.
And I want it to not be the way that it is at this moment.
Same. We've got to do something. I mean, and they're very actively trying to make it something that doesn't happen. And I, you know, you just gotta, I can't explain. I'm currently doing that book on queer theology and conversion therapy. And I can't tell you how many people have looked at my resume and say, take the gay stuff off for public schools.
I mean, I...
And I'm like,
yeah, like, I mean, as we've said many times now, Florida is not the place in general, but like, there are a number of things that I have been told.
Christy might have a will work for food sign up in her door.
Y'all, this might be it for me. But like, that's the, actually.
That's okay. She'll move to North Carolina.
Very honest. And like, this is a genuine, sincere moment. When we had talked about doing this episode, I got nervous. I was like, aww. I don't know if I should, because it is real. Like, people really are getting fired.
They are.
And then I was like, nope, because also I've done it before. I got fired from a job for standing up for my beliefs.
You did?
I've been here before, and I am better off for having gotten fired from that. And if it has to happen again, it has to happen again. But I don't think that it.
I honestly enjoy
my job. So.
I enjoy the job for you.
But if
speaking truth to power is what you get fired for, then I mean, one, it'll be badass and you'll be a martyr amongst us all. But also,
again,
like,
I'll be like, this is the second time, you guys. Like,
and then I'll be like, I just had a room come free, which I did actively think about at my friend's house. So, and it's right down the road.
I want to emphasize that I am incredibly privileged to have quite a large amount of support. Like, I know that if I did, that I have you and I have a lot of other people who would be like rallying around me, and that is,
I'd have to fight the Colorado girls over you.
But that is an incredible privilege to have when you're risking things that a lot of people 100%. Don't have, that risk yeah. so much more than I am risking at this moment. But
and like, we're not immigrants. We don't.
We're not like, immigrants. We're white.
We're white. Yep.
We're Christian.
Like, Christian, we're middle class.
Great. I mean, we just have yep. a lot of stuff going for us. So
we do.
It's fine.
But
it's,
but it I will say, talking to a friend, our mutual friend of ours, who is, you know, in the queer community, we are the people that need to stand up. People like that are in those positions need to stand up for people who can't do that, or they'll get carted away, like, or yeah, they'll get killed. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
you know, we have yeah. to, that's have why always, people, we have to do yeah. it, you know?
I have always sided with my friends who are unable to take mm-hmm. such liberties. And one of my good friends here in Florida is from another country and brown, and she is living in a lot of fear right now. And so, like, I certainly am not gonna pretend like this tiny step I've taken is anything like what she's experiencing.
No. So. No. And it's, you should realize too, like, we had the No Kings protest in Charlotte that was against Trump. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
And there were four of the people that I'm quite close to, one who was born in America but is brown, and whose family are from Latin America. Mm-hmm. One person who's still going through the process that is from India, another person who today got her passed her test to be a citizen, but is from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Stuart, who's white, but he did just get tasty. His...
But he did just get citizenship. Yeah.
He did. And so they were like, we don't feel... We were in this group text, and they were like, we don't feel like we should go to this. That's a protest. That is a... Some of these people are Americans that don't, just because of the color of their skin or their recent status, feel like they can't do their constitutional, like, duty, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
That's what my friend said. There were a number of things that she was like, I'm avoiding this part of town right now because there's a protest or various, like, she's just, like, kind of, and she's legally here. I want to stress.
Yeah.
She is. Yes,
all of the people I mentioned are legally here.
She's legally here. She has a permanent residency. She's got a year left before she can do the citizenship test, but she's on that route. She's doing everything correctly. She's PhD. She's here on a, like, one of those special visas that... Highly skilled worker, yeah. Like, so, like, she should be fine, but she's not, you know?
Nope.
Like,
nope.
And that... And she's the loveliest person.
She is.
Lovely.
And she's wonderful. And a lot of these people are trying to... They set up camp outside the citizenship court where Stuart got sworn in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. ICE did. To get people who are trying... Keep in mind, trying to do this legally.
The correct way.
By the way, this is not a cheap process.
It's not. It's so expensive.
Tens of thousands of dollars to get to this point. And, you know, and they are there... doing it the right way and going through the courts.
Would you like to know how my great-grandparents entered this country in a
whiskey jar?
It was 1920 or something like that. They just took the boat. That was it.
Signed in at Ellis and was like, I'm
here now.
Yep.
Neither of them spoke English. My great-grandmother did become a citizen, but my grandfather didn't. I met these people. I have a picture of me and her, and they did not a damn thing. They just got to live here.
Bought a ticket. Okay? Bought a ticket.
They bought a ticket on a boat, and they got on the boat, and then they came over here, and then that's what they did. They lived here, you know? And, like, this was not that long ago. So let's stop pretending, like, all of this is...
We're not a country of mutts.
Right? Like, how dare those immigrants... That's who we all are.
Yep.
Most of us. There are a handful. You've got some.
It's not helping me with this side of my hair right now, though. But I'll tell you. I'll tell you that real quick.
That we're just from here, but yeah. Like,
that's well then. But the majority of my genetics are not from here.
Yeah.
Or not from, like, here.
Yeah. Anyway, we've covered a number of topics.
I think we need to go take a nap.
I think
I have that may just be, well, now I'm tired. I guess I should take a nap. I should go run or something. Chrissy, I'm not going to do that. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now.
Go take a shot of whiskey and...
Yeah, that's an option. Tell a story. All right, guys. Yeah.
I'm done with this shirt.
I was going to say,
thanks for joining us.
It also smells like a boy.
Oh. Thanks for joining us on this lovely episode, and we'll be back. Oh, and also, two important things. Beer camp is coming up, and we're going to be there.
We are?
We're going to do hot ones. We're going to have bracelets. We're going to have our smiling selves. So that's exciting.
I'm doing a panel on liberation theology, which is fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yep.
Also, our book club is October 22nd. We are doing Boy Erased this month. So if you would like to join our book club, it is the band book club, and it is on our Patreon, which is in the links in our bios. You can do all of that. And it's a very fun time. Everybody enjoys it. So come to us, et cetera.
Sure. All right. Well, have a good one. Speak truth to power. Yep. Be careful if you're in these minority groups that we were talking about right now, and we will do what we can do.
Yep.
And that's it. All right.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Bye.